Thanks very much, Mark, and it does give me a great deal of pleasure to be here again to give this address. And it is such an important time in the Tasmanian economy. I will today set out the current economic landscape from the state government's perspective and highlight some of the key emerging issues. I will explain some policy issues that the government, and especially myself as Treasurer, must grapple with now and in the months ahead. You will be aware that Australia has been experiencing the impact of the global financial crisis over the past year. In particular, mineral prices have declined sharply, the Australian dollar is much weaker, corporate profits are down, and equity values have fallen by around 50%. Official statistics show that Tasmania has not suffered as much as some other states, though as a small open economy, we cannot expect to be immune from these very powerful external forces. The landscape is changing very rapidly and remains highly uncertain. Major new developments are occurring daily, which makes the task of predicting future trends very difficult. As an example, let us look at the forecast of global economic growth made by the International Monetary Fund over the past year. Within the past 3 months, the IMF's forecast for 2009 has fallen from 2.2% in November 2008 to just 0.5% earlier this month, the weakest growth since World War II. It is unprecedented for the IMF to have such a large downward revision to the forecast for the same year. The same goes for the forecast of Australia's economic growth from the Commonwealth Treasury. For 2008-09, growth was expected to be 2.5% when the Commonwealth budget was released last May. This declined to 2% when the mid-year economic and fiscal outlook was released last November, which included the expected impact of the Australian government's $10.4 billion economic security strategy. Forecast economic growth is now estimated to be only 1% in the revised forecast in the updated economic and fiscal outlook issued earlier this month. And this allows for the impact in 2008-09 of the Commonwealth $42 billion nation building and jobs plan, as well as the earlier $10.4 billion stimulus measures. But what does this all mean for Tasmania? It's important to recognise that the Tasmanian economy is better placed to face these pressures than at any time over the past two or three decades. I understand Saul referred to this earlier. The fundamentals of the Tasmanian economy are sound, helped by the structural changes and reform introduced by this government over the past 10 years. We have near record levels of employment and record low levels of unemployment, including long-term unemployment. Private investment has been at record levels in recent months. Consumer confidence has held up much better than in many other states. The state finances are also in far better state than they were a decade ago, with net debt eliminated as a result of sustained fiscal discipline over the past decade. However, some of the effects of these global and national pressures are impacting upon Tasmania, as I'm sure many of you in the business community will be aware. As you would expect, the state government is monitoring economic conditions very closely and receiving regular reports from government agencies and from consultation with the business community. I should say, though, that some underlying trends are not clear, due in fact to the success of the Australian government's measures in response to the financial crisis. For example, the increases in the first homeowner grants have been successful in stimulating the housing market. For Tasmania, there was a notable increase in the number of dwellings financed by a first home buyer in November 2008. This was the second highest monthly number recorded since late 2002, which was the start of the nationwide housing boom. Retail sales have also been stronger than some commentators expected. Retail sales in December 2008 were up by a very strong 4.2% from November and 10.5% above the level recorded 1 year earlier. Much of this was due to the Australian government's $10.4 billion economic security strategy package introduced late last year. In addition, for many households, income has been increasing due to much lower interest rates and lower petrol prices. Unlike previous economic downturns, it is also possible that Tasmania will fare relatively better than other states. We have lower comparative levels of employment in sectors badly impacted by the financial crisis, such as finance and insurance and property and business services. Tasmanian households also have lower levels of debt and financial assets than the Australian average, so we are possibly less exposed to the impact of the global financial crisis. Tasmania's tourism sector also appears to be benefiting from the weaker Australian dollar, as more Australians choose to take their holidays within Australia. Nevertheless, employment levels are easing from their record high levels, with households cutting back on new borrowings and high-value purchases, such as new motor vehicles. Mining activity is also down, with the collapse of commodity prices, with the closure of the Hillier Tailings Mine in September last year, and the new Avery Nickel Mine, now in care and maintenance. There is no doubt that Tasmania faces challenges due to forces that are largely outside the control of the Tasmanian government. As a small economy that trades extensively internationally and with mainland Australia, Tasmania's prospects are linked to the fortunes of these economies. These external factors are having a significant impact on the state's fiscal position. As Australia's economic growth eases, GST revenues will fall nationally. This has a significant impact on Tasmania, given GST grants make up about 40% of our total budget revenues. We're also faced with lower own source tax revenue from conveyance duties, royalties and some other taxes. Treasury has estimated in the 2008-09 mid-year financial report that Tasmania's net operating balance in 2008-09 will be a deficit of $91 million. This contrasts starkly with the initial forecast surplus of $106 million. So how should governments respond in the face of a global recession? The Rudd Labor government is taking a strong leadership position in supporting the national economy and especially jobs through the $42 billion Nation Building and Jobs Plan. National governments have the primary responsibility in times such as these, and I do congratulate the Rudd government on taking such a proactive role. It is expected that Tasmania will benefit by around $1 billion over 3 years from the measures in this package, equivalent to almost 5% of the state's gross state product. Many of the measures that involve cash payments will provide proportionally more benefits to Tasmanian households, largely because we have a higher share than nationally of those on lower incomes. I'm confident that these measures, together with the enhanced first homeowner grant and other national initiatives, will greatly stimulate economic activity in Tasmania. Of course, the state government is also taking action to protect jobs in the economy. We will not be cancelling any capital spending as a result of the Australian government's infrastructure spending on schools, roads and community infrastructure. In fact, expenditure for some capital projects will be brought forward to assist in stimulating the Tasmanian economy following the impact of the global financial crisis. These include construction of the Kingston High School, the Cradle Mountain Sewage Treatment Plant and Bruny Island Community Health Centre. Capital expenditure by the government in 2008-09 is expected to be some 30% or $76 million higher than actual capital expenditure was in 2007-08. And we are responding with initiatives such as the $100 million Tasmanian Industry Support Scheme, the reinstatement of the Tasmanian Trainee and Apprentice Incentive Scheme, and the Shared Equity Scheme to boost housing. We've also established the West Coast Economic Development Group to identify activities that maximise the economic development outcomes for the West Coast, given the impact of the global financial crisis on the mining industry. We're also providing direct support to affected companies such as AC or Bearings. We're also looking at what more can be done, including a review of possible government barriers and constraints that could hinder private sector and government investment. The government is also reviewing planning and procurement systems. With regards to the budget, we're taking a measured and considered approach. I can assure you that the government will implement budget management strategies to ensure a sustainable position is maintained. For example, the government is implementing public sector belt tightening measures that will generate significant savings to our bottom line. These include applying an efficiency dividend to government agencies and no longer indexing agencies' non-salary costs. At the same time, it is critically important that momentum is not lost in the important economic development and reform measures that the government has been progressing. The government is not resting on the past 10 years of economic growth. It is looking forward to the next 10 years. We have an economic plan for the future to drive productivity, participation and population. There are three pillars to the plan based on skills, innovation and infrastructure. It is more important than ever that the government continues to drive reform to ensure we are well positioned to come out of the downturn. Firstly, the government is committed to complete our reforms in the water and sewage sector. In July last year, Water and Sewage Industry Act and the Water and Sewage Corporation Act were passed to provide the structural and regulatory reform of the water and sewage sector in Tasmania. Water and sewage functions will be transferred out of councils and bulk water authorities and into three regional corporations. These businesses will remain wholly owned by local government and will commence operations in mid-2009. The investments stimulated by the reforms will greatly improve environmental and public health outcomes for the community and grow the economy. I believe our water and sewage reforms are Australian best practice, and these reforms will be a model for many other Australian states. In addition to water and sewage reform, the government is also pursuing irrigation infrastructure development to enhance our economy. Tasmania has the potential to become the southern food bowl of the nation. That opportunity will be provided by the water projects being progressed by the Tasmanian Irrigation Development Board. Tasmania has largely avoided the mainland mistakes of chronic overallocation and unsustainable use of water resources. Likewise, we have also cared for our resources so our future generations can benefit from their value. With less than 1% of the nation's landmass, Tasmania is around 14% of the nation's water resources. Even with the challenges of drought and climate change and the critical need to maintain environmental flows, our water resource represents a significant competitive advantage over the rest of Australia. The Tasmanian and Australian governments have committed around $220 million to progress the state's key irrigation proposals. It is by far the largest amount of public funding available for water development in the state since the peak days of hydroelectricity development. And we are rolling out the projects as quickly as we possibly can. Earlier this month, a short-term solution was delivered to the Coal River Valley, and the first sod was turned on the construction of the Quamby Irrigation Pipeline, the first of four pipeline projects which will extend from Meander Dam. So while other states are grappling with the problems of water restriction and declining regional economies, in Tasmania we are planning for growth. Another significant initiative has been the government's strategy to facilitate the development of a more competitive telecommunications industry in Tasmania. Telecommunications services, particularly broadband infrastructure and services, support economic growth, facilitate new business opportunities, and improve the state's competitiveness in a global knowledge economy. But in Tasmania, as in so much of regional Australia, our primary telecommunication challenge is investment in the major optic fibre trunk connections between states and cities, the so-called backhaul routes. Tasmania has the lowest rate of broadband usage in the nation. There has been market and regulatory failure with backhaul pricing in Tasmania, with particular issues getting data across Bass Strait, where Telstra had the monopoly. Late last year, Aurora and Basslink signed an agreement over the fibre in the Basslink cable to bring nationally competitive broadband prices to Tasmania. But this is only the first step. In November last year, the Tasmanian government lodged its bid under the Australian government's $4.7 billion National Broadband Network NBN initiative. We are determined to pull Tasmania from the bottom of the pile in Australia in terms of our use of broadband technology to the top. We are the only state government to lodge the $5 million bond to allow us to participate in the National Broadband Network process. It is a far-reaching and comprehensive proposal that brings together an impressive range of skills, existing infrastructure and other Tasmanian-specific competitive advantages. This bid is a huge opportunity for Tasmania. The benefits of a better broadband will have immeasurable impacts on our economy. The government is also focused on securing our energy supply. The continued low inflows into state's hydroelectric storages can mean that we are now relying on gas-fired electricity or electricity imported through Basslink to maintain energy security. In August, the government announced that it would be purchasing the Tamar Valley Power Station to finish its construction and ensure its timely commissioning. The significant deterioration in the global credit markets meant that Babcock and Brown Power had to sell the partially completed Tamar Valley project. The government acted swiftly and decisively with a $100 million equity injection into Aurora to protect the interests of business and residents in Tasmania. The cost of failing to keep the lights on and keeping energy-intensive businesses such as Nearstar operating are again immeasurable. The power station is due for completion in the second half of this year. In summary then, the Tasmanian government is conscious that Tasmania is yet to feel the full force of the global financial crisis. In a rapidly changing external environment, we cannot know the extent of that our economy will be affected or how long the effects are likely to last. We're not even able to know whether this financial crisis will result in some fundamental changes to global economic conditions or to the long-term growth prospects for Australia and for Tasmania. We know that the economy will soften and our budget position is worsening. But I can assure you that the government is not complacent. While the external events that are causing the crisis are outside our control, the government is doing everything we possibly can to steer the Tasmanian economy through this challenging time. We recognise that economic cycles do occur, and the government is focusing on improving Tasmania's long-term sustainability, both for the economy and for the state's finances. I remain confident that Tasmania has indeed a bright future. Thank you very much.